Welcome to TV Times 3, episode 433. On this episode, we'll be talking more about San Diego Comic-Con 2023 and all the panels and outside activations we did and more. You can find the full show notes with start times for each segment at tvtimes3podcast.com/433. I'm Jason the TVaholic from tvaholic.com, and joining me this week are...
It's Amri from mytakeontv.com. It still exists.
And I'm Paul Fedori from How to Watch TV.
All right. Well, thank you both for joining me on the podcast. Talk a little bit about our adventures down in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And start off by with our first question, which is, how did you feel about this year's Comic-Con with the lack of big TV and movie panels?
I'll go first. I think the biggest thing, and I keep saying this to people, is that it was very similar to my first time there, where I didn't face a lot of crowds outside. I could walk up to the window and buy my ticket. Like, it was just fewer people outside. And we've all talked, like, together about how maybe inside it didn't necessarily feel that way because people didn't have panels and stuff that they really needed to go to, since celebrity or actors and things weren't there. But I felt like I could get from point A to point B very easily. I didn't have to rush anywhere. I didn't feel like I sped walked anywhere. I didn't sweat a lot, which is a big difference. And I slept more than 4 hours a night for the first time in like a decade.
Which is always really good at Comic-Con. How about you, Paul?
Yeah, I definitely think that this is the most well-rested I've been during Comic-Con. I was barely tired. Like, I felt like at the end of each day, I wasn't like, oh my gosh, my feet hurt so much. I didn't have that feeling this year. But I will say inside, like the exhibit hall, I do think there was, it felt busier in the exhibit hall. Any line you wanted to wait in the exhibit hall was just capped, and it was just hard to do that kind of thing. But outside, Amory's right. Like, it definitely felt like there were fewer people lining up for the activations and stuff. Although there's some outliers there. And then also there was hotel availability, which was something. So I think there were a good deal of cancellations, at least on the hotel front, because right up until Comic-Con, they had something like, 10 to 20 hotels available. They might not be the close ones downtown, but they were definitely the ones that were part of the on-peak hotel reservation system. There was a lot of availability still. So, yeah.
Well, the only thing I'll say about that is that the lines and stuff, like, it depends on the thing. There were like the Hulu Animayhem one had a huge line out on the backside of the convention center. But so many of the different activations and stuff like that were going with the pre-reservation system. So you had like a time. So you didn't have to stand in line all day. You just had to go about 10 or 15 minutes before, your time was going to be to make sure you were going to be able to get in. And so there wasn't a lot of big lines at some of the big activations. And, there was still a few people standing in like standby lines and stuff like that, hoping to get in. But yeah, it was a lot different with, there wasn't the, most things didn't have a big panel that day where somebody was going to be standing in line at the beginning of the day to get in, to sit in there half the day, in ballroom 20 or something like that to make sure they got to the panel that they actually wanted to see or whatever. So there wasn't that, those type of lines. I mean, and they didn't even have a Hall H on Sunday at all. So
yeah,
that tells you the difference right there.
Yeah. Like even last year and in previous years, some of the activations had lines that you would wait in for 7 to 8 hours to get into. And I don't think anything like that happened this year. I think the longest one is the one, I think you mentioned, the Hulu Animayhem activation. I saw a tweet that said that there was a 4 hour long line for that, but that was the longest line that I had heard about. The AMC Anne Rice Universe activation, I saw a tweet saying that you could, anyone in the standby line would make it through the standby line in about an hour. And I was like, oh, that's pretty good, you know, for a standby line, really, you know.
I mean, historically, I don't wait in lines.
Yeah.
So maybe the difference here was that I actually waited in some lines this year, which was different for me because I was doing activations and I was like, I had to go in the ballroom 20 line, which I have not done in, God, I can't remember when. When Chuck was the 10 a.m. Saturday panel. Yeah, that's the last time I was in ballroom 20 line.
That's right. Probably around the last time I was in ballroom 20. I mean, before this year. I mean, this year I went into ballroom 20, but I just went in, and they just ushered you right in. There was no line or anything. Yeah. I just sat down in the back, and then when that panel was over, I moved up closer to the front. So yeah, it was weird. Like you said, Amory, didn't feel like I wasn't busy or didn't have things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, actually did a panel, like, to start the day off. Like, went to, like, a 10 a.m. panel, and nothing had to wait in line or anything, really, other than maybe waiting for them to open the door if I got there, a little bit before 10 or something. So, yeah. And we'll start with you this time, Paul. What was your favorite panels and or press rooms that you did?
Yeah, so there were two panels that I thought were worth mentioning related to TV, where there was some interesting news and some screenings about them. I think the first one was the What Will We Do in the Shadows panel, which was actually just two screenings of future episodes.
A lot of panels ended up being this year.
Yeah. Right. A lot of most of the panels, because of the everyone not, no, none of the talent or producers or directors even really attending, they would get some sort of fan host to be a moderator, not a fan host. I can't think of the word. Like a prominent blogger or personality.
Yeah, like somebody from, like Damien Holbrook or whatever.
Right. Yeah, like a journalist, that kind of thing, to moderate the panels instead of, say, the director or showrunner.
Right.
Right. So that's, I think, what happened for both What We Do in the Shadows. And then the other panel I was going to mention was the Star Trek Universe panel, which had a bit of news that we'll talk about later, I guess. Both of them had screenings. They had news. They had swag. Well, the What We Do in the Shadows had some good swag. So, yeah, those were the two panels I think I enjoyed the most.
How about you, Amory?
I actually did one press room, one.
So that was your favorite one?
Actually, that was my favorite one. It was for the HBO Max, Max animation, which is like Harley Quinn, and I already forget the others. But, I got to meet my first Oscar winner, which was exciting because Matthew Cherry, not Mark Cherry, for Best Oscar.
We had that problem last
Matthew
week.
Matthew Cherry from Hair Love, who there was the next Netflix like short that ended up winning an Oscar for Best Short. They extended the life of the story and the family, and it's an animated series about like an extension of the short. It's about a dad who has to learn how to do his daughter's hair. That was really cool. They were very gracious. You know, it was good to talk to them. I think they were excited because they got to talk to people, and they probably haven't been able to really talk to a lot of people because no one's doing, you know, interviews and stuff like that because they don't want to screw anything up or cross any kind of picket lines, anything like that. And then my favorite panel, it was not a very weird panel that involved John Heder and TJ Miller. And I don't even remember what it was. TJ Miller's hair was just wild. I don't know if it was a wig or if he dyed it black. I don't know what was happening. It was off the wall, but I would say that my favorite panel for sure was the Continental. I recently became interested in John Wick because my, I don't know what he is, fiance. Maybe I shouldn't put that out there. My boyfriend, he is a very big John Wick fan. So I was excited through him. for that. And the footage and stuff that they showed was wild. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, that one was pretty good. And I will have to say, while I wasn't in there for that animation panel for whatever service that was doing fan, semi-fan driven stories and whatnot, TJ Miller being just in a little box because he was Skyped in on the panel. And then he would just be doing things up there when they weren't
eating
talking.
His Chinese food for breakfast. It was just so wild.
It was completely bizarre, and somewhat entertaining to get us through to the Continental and things like that we did want to see.
Yeah.
All right, so go from inside the convention center to outside the convention center, and what were your favorite activations you went to, Amory?
This is like the first year in a while, in maybe ever, that I've done more than like two activations, so that was very different for me. And I think I really loved Quantum Leap and how NBC integrated not only Quantum Leap, but Law and Order, and The Voice, and Chucky. Like, it was across the NBC Universal kind of like spectrum, but they did it under a Quantum Leap like guise, I guess. It was very cool to kind of, it was frenetic and like exciting in a way that I don't think others were. Like, I liked the Interview with the Vampire one, the Anne Rice like Immortals world. Like, it was nicely done. It was calm. I didn't feel a rush to do anything. It was just kind of, you walked through and you got the story and you participated. Quantum Leap, I felt engaged and like I was excited to be there. And then I thought Anna Mayhem was nice because I got a cool picture with the Belchers from Bob's Burgers.
How about you, Paul?
Yeah, I was going to mention the Quantum Leap one as well, just because it seemed like the most fun, I want to say, like just in terms of like pure joy of like, okay, now you're doing this. And, okay, come here. And then, okay, now you're doing this. And okay, now you're doing here. Like you said, the frenetic nature of it. The Anne Rice one I liked because it was immersive and I'm a sucker for immersive theater and actors. So it was fun to interact with those people in character. I also really liked the Jurassic Park 30th anniversary activation.
Oh yeah. That was great.
There were a lot of fun photo ops there. Like you can get your picture taken on the toilet being eaten by a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And then you could get a picture of yourself hiding in the kitchen, hiding from raptors, velociraptors. And it was just a great experience. And then it ended with like a gift shop, but then also some free dino nuggets and some water. And I thought that was such a good perk. Like activations don't normally end with like free food at the end, but so that was a really nice touch, I think. It was well worth the longer walk to get to it, I think.
Yeah,
those were all good. The Quantum Leap one was very well done in keeping you know, like moving to the next thing, to the next part of it, you know, as as they're just rapidly, you know, there's a group behind you, and they got to get you out of this hall into the next thing so that they can bring the next group in, you know, to go through and stuff. But yeah, I think that one was my favorite overall. And then we'll move back inside the convention. And what did you do or anything get on the show floor, Paul?
Yes. So the first thing we did, the second we had a plan, Kyle and I, a friend of ours, had a plan for when we entered the convention show floor. And what we did was we went straight to the Star Trek Strange New Worlds experience, where there was two video opportunities there, and then you get some posters. And so that was pretty good. At the same time, all the Paramount properties were doing this passport where you would scan various images in the exhibit hall and also outside with your phone. And then if you collected all seven of them, then you would get some swag at the Paramount Lodge experience. So for that was kind of fun walking around on preview night trying to figure out what those all were. We had also tried to get to the CBS Ghosts experience, the Destiny Decider, where you go in and it decides if you're going to heaven or hell or not.
But you would have needed to beam yourself from the Star Trek one to the other side of the show floor to be able to do
it. It was so far, and it was such the Ghosts booth was such in a strange location that we seriously considered for a good half an hour if it was a typo, because there's not usually like TV booths on that far end of the exhibit hall floor. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of strange for it to be all the way on the one side away from all the other TV content. So that was strange. And of course, when we tried to get there, we couldn't get in. And so that was one of my regrets, is I wasn't able to do that in the end. Every time I tried to go, the line was capped, and they said, oh, well, maybe consider reopening the line 30 minutes from now, kind of thing. And it was just like, well, I'm not going to stand here for 30 minutes.
Or if you came back in 30 minutes, it was recapped and you couldn't get in.
Yeah. I will say, just generally speaking, though, the exhibit hall floor was just always rammed, like just packed with people. But anyway.
Yeah. How about you, Amory?
I did not do much on the floor. Like, I went to the floor and I walked around and I kind of shopped here and there, but I didn't go to any of the booths because I, again, don't enjoy crowds or lines. It's not that I mind the crowds. I don't see a point in waiting in lines. So the only thing I really did, this was the first time I'd ever done preview night. And somehow, because I had to sneak in and get, not sneak in, but I went and got my badge, I snuck in to the floor through some entrance, like well before it was supposed to open. Mm. Like 10 minutes before, I think it's supposed to open at 6. I don't know. I got in when I didn't wait in line, is all I should say. And the first thing I did was went to a table for one of our favorite artists, Chris Yuminga. We have his prints all over the house. So my only mission for Matthew was to go get more artwork. So I bought a bunch of prints and we got like some exclusive art that he had there for Comic-Con. I walked around and I, you know, took some pictures of some of the like costumes and stuff they had around. Like they had, what's his name? Who's the sea guy? Aquaman. They had Momoa's costume there. So I took a picture of that. It was just pretty much pictures. My best friend asked me to go look for some crazy expensive stuff and just buy it and he'd Venmo me. But I was like, again, I'm not waiting in line. So if I can walk right up and get it, I will walk right up and get it. Otherwise, good luck. Buy it on eBay. So yeah, I did not do much on the floor other than, and this is kind of the biggest thing, I was on the floor, which never happened.
Yeah, that's where we met up at this Comic-Con for the first time, was on preview night on the show floor in a spot where I don't think I've been on the show floor in, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Like, it never would go in on preview night. And then most of the time doing press rooms over in the Bayfront, and almost would never set foot in the convention center again.
Exactly. Yep.
This time went in and walked around a little bit on preview night, and then at the very end walked in on Sunday and started walking from one side of the convention center to the other as they started from the back pushing everybody towards the exits and stuff. And but we're able to, you know, walk in nice air conditioning, and then and Lynn found some Disney pins at a booth and stuff like that. That was the fun thing to see, is certain booths. I mean, booths that weren't really selling anything, particularly, you know, like a ghost booth or something like that, you know, that those things were packing up. But it was interesting to see some booths that were selling stuff were packing up because they wanted to get out. And other booths were just like, hey, we're still open, and tell everybody out. Like, we're still we're still here to sell stuff. And so that was kind of funny. Never really been in at the end of the day when they're closing it out. So yeah, that was my dual experience. The very beginning, which, as you said, Amory, like, not wanting to stand in line, but we went over and there was a big long line. And then at a certain point, they just started opening all the other doors. And so we were towards the back of the line, but just went right in. We were at the far side of the, almost near the ghost booth, really, when you think about it, when we got in. But we didn't end up having to stand in line for very long. All right, so now we'll head back outside. And at night, what was the best sort of after hours thing you did or saw, Amory?
Easily the Nat Geo party. I mean, easily, because there was food, there was places to walk around, there was good drinks. They capped the line when they should have. We didn't have to wait 400 days in line.
It wasn't overly loud, so you could actually talk to somebody.
You could actually have a conversation. 100%. And to Nat Geo's credit, they always do that well. That party has always been like a good one. Other things were fine. It was nice to check out like the Amazon house that they called it. But when your priority line wraps around the whole building because you didn't control your RSVP link well enough, things just weren't handled well enough. So I was just done with it. And honestly, one of my favorite things that I did at night was I stood outside of Petco Park and I listened to a whole Jimmy Eat World set before going back to my hotel room. You could just hear them. They're one of my favorite bands. They happen to be playing downtown during Comic-Con, and I got to stand and just listen to them. So for me, that was probably the best event I attended at night.
Yes, I was going to say the same thing, the Nat Geo party. I don't know. I quite like the jury duty party because there was a lot of different things to do. It was way too busy in there and hard to move around. That was the complaint I have. If they had just, if it even had just like 100 or 200 fewer people, I think it would have made a bigger difference.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like the idea of the jury duty party having like different stations that you can line up for. There was food and, there was a few different bars. I think there were 2 or 3 different bars that you could get drinks from that the lines weren't terribly long for anyway. You had to wait in line, but it wasn't more than, you know, waiting for 10 or 15 minutes, I think.
Right.
Yeah. So I prefer the Nat Geo party over the jury duty party for sure. But, it was nice to see some of the props, if they're props in a reality show, I don't know, from the jury duty. The real life, like the note and
like the chair,
the seat pants. Yeah, the seat pants. The chair pants. Yeah. It was fun to see that kind of stuff as well. And then there was a spin of wheel for swag, which was kind of fun. And I won a Judge Judy mug. So that was fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd definitely go with the Nat Geo one as being sort of the most sort of laid back. It's partially because of the venue. You can only get so many people on the fourth floor pool deck at what is now the Margaritaville Hotel. But yeah, just by the time we got into the jury duty one, it was so packed and so loud that you felt like, to try and say anything to somebody, you felt like you were invading their space,
right?
So they could actually hear you. But I mean, it was set up well,
with
some of the things, but that led into the Good Omens one the next night that
I didn't even go.
Yeah. That we all went to where Kyle was standing in line and was like, this is further than yesterday. I think we're going to bounce.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I was like, I don't, and it turned out from what I had read after that it was definitely the worst party of that versus say jury duty to attend. So I was felt validated in my decision to not. Yeah, but I will say one other party that I quite liked was the Gala Games party run by Den of Geek. That was also kind of fun, where it was a gamer party. It didn't really have a lot of TV. Didn't really have a lot to do with TV, but it wasn't super busy. Like, you could sit down and there was an open bar. It was all beer.
I drank beer with what is it called? Terpenes in it.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
At that party. It was wild. And then I ate so many tacos. And then I went to the free ice cream truck multiple times. Yes. So you could say that the terpenes kicked in almost immediately.
Yes. the tacos were great as well. And it wasn't just some like chintzy cheap version ice cream truck. It was like high end ice cream, like, you know, frozen Snickers bars and stuff, like the Snickers ice cream bar. And they had a lot of really good selection there. And the tacos were really good too. It was like an actual taco truck. It wasn't one of these, you know, serving like a tablespoon of tacos or whatever these other parties were doing, right? Like it was
in the smallest taco shell you've ever seen.
Right. This was actually substantial food. So that was pretty good. And there was a famous TikToker there that I got a picture of. So I was happy to do that. Anyway.
All right. Was there any TV news that was worth noting coming out of Comic-Con? What do you think, Amory?
For me, the Continental premiere date, I guess, September 22nd, like that's what I cared about and that's what I noticed. And that's really all that I read or paid attention to.
Yeah. How about you, Paul?
Yeah. So I would say the biggest news came out probably from the Star Trek Universe panel. Just because even though there was no cast or crew or showrunners on stage, they still were able to announce a lot of information about it almost felt like they basically ran the panel as if the casts weren't there. Maybe they wouldn't have done a screening of an episode if the casts were there. But so what we got with that panel was we got a screening of the Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks crossover episode, which was hilarious, by the way. And then they announced that they were changing their schedule to drop the episode right away. And then they announced the next week's episode would occur at their usual time. So they basically like doubled up that week in terms of episode drops, which was interesting. It's interesting to see Paramount do that just for Comic-Con, that they're going to, instead of having to wait the next week, they dropped it at the same time, basically right after we had seen the episode in Hall H there. One of the other things was the announcement of the musical episode called Subspace Rhapsody, which was happening 2 weeks later, which has already aired. It actually came out last night now. And that was great. That was kind of a surprise. I don't think we had heard much news about the musical episode, even if there was a musical episode. But that was really interesting. And there was a free giveaway of a poster at the booth, which turned out to be a big debacle when, you know, everyone who was in Hall H decided to just go to the exhibit hall booth and try and get their free poster. That turned out to be a big nightmare, apparently, just for logistics of crowds and stuff. So I'm glad I didn't do that. The other news we got out of Star Trek Universe panel was the first, we got to watch the first 5 minutes of the new season of Discovery, which is premiering this fall. And then we also got a new trailer for the next season of Lower Decks, the animated series. So there was quite a bit of news and stuff to watch as part of the Star Trek Universe panel.
Yeah, I think there probably would have been more if they would have had, you know, actors and on the panel. You probably would have gotten some clips of the Lower Decks Strange New Worlds crossover. And all the other clips that we got and, you know, promos and news, it would have just been interspersed throughout, you know, them talking to the cast and the creators and stuff like that, instead of before and after watching an actual episode.
Right. I almost wonder if I'm trying to figure out if I enjoyed this format of panel better than, say, last year's, where there were no screened episodes and it was just casts and sizzle reels and that sort of thing. Cause we did get more content out of this panel because of the lack of the casts and the ability to interview and ask questions. Right. So it's interesting to think about like, what did I enjoy more? I mean, of course you enjoy seeing the casts like up close and live and everything, but, I don't know. It was interesting to see that they dropped the same amount of news, really. I kind of appreciated that. So that was that was great on Paramount's part to do that.
Well, I always like this when they screen something, when you're watching it in, you know, like Ballroom 20 or something like that. It's just such a big, so many people watching it at the same time. It's, you know, it's bigger than, I said this last week, it's bigger than, you know, like going to the movies and watching it with, you know, like a couple hundred people. You're watching it with a couple thousand people or more.
Yeah.
And when something funny happens or something, you know, it's, there's like 4,000 people laughing at it, you know, or something like that. It's, and so it does have that bigger communal experience when they show something. The only problem I've seen back when I did do stuff is when they would screen something and only have like the hour panel, and then they would bring cast out. It felt like, why are you even bringing the cast out? Because you only have like 7 minutes to say something, to have them say something, you know, by the time they introduce them all, and then they got to get out before the, you know, cause they just spent 40 something minutes of the hour, or even less time if it's like a Saturday where things get shrunk to like 50 minute panels or something. It's hard to do a screening of something unless it's, you know, like a half hour show or something like that.
Yeah.
But they're doing it. So yeah, it is, I don't know. It depends on it. It's sort of it is a fun experience, but then also sometimes you want to, you know, see the actual, some of the fun is also seeing the people behind the show where you can't get that close to them normally.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of interesting either way. Mm-hmm. All right. What is the best or weirdest or strangest thing that you saw while roaming around Comic-Con? We'll start with you, Amory.
I didn't really see anything really weird this year. Like, I didn't see...
Oh, I did.
I'll tell you.
We were together.
I don't remember what it was, but I will tell you the weirdest thing that I saw was not Comic-Con related, but it was in the Hard Rock hotel rooms, where as part of the bar, you know, like the whatever, the dry bar that you can steal, not steal something from, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They had a personal pleasure box that you could buy at the Hard Rock. And I thought, this is wild.
Yeah.
That was the weirdest thing I saw. But what did I miss?
I was going to say the really random Roseanne activation.
That was random.
Yeah, it was so strange.
Especially with the live performance, which I give them credit for really buying into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was strange.
It was like an entire, just to explain it, it was an activation for Roseanne, hyper-focused on season 6, 7, and 8 of Roseanne, the TV show from the 80s and 90s. I guess this TV channel called Cozy TV had gotten the rights to it and had this huge outdoor sort of fun fair, community fair kind of thing modeled after the Lanford days in the TV show. Where there were fun little carnival games that you could play, like ring toss and pop, you know, play pop balloons with darts, that kind of thing. And then you would win prizes like DVD box sets of Roseanne. And then they had loose meat sandwiches from the show that you could also eat. But it was so strange. Like, it was such a... It's so weird to have an activation celebrating a TV show from, you know, 30 years ago. I just thought it was so strange, I think.
Well, I'll still say, and I said it last week, the strangest thing about that is how, like you said, it was Roseanne focused so much that you were like, but isn't this supposed to be advertising Cozy TV? Like, that's the thing that's being advertised, that just right now they have Roseanne episodes, you know, airing on it. I thought it was a good, like, they chose a good episode or a good thing to create, you know, like that carnival atmosphere type of thing to create the thing.
Uh-huh.
But it was not exactly, I was like, does Cozy TV not have the rights to some other show that would be a little more Comic-Con like leaning, you know, some sort
yeah.
of,
yeah,
you know, yeah. So, something else that has a little, you know, sci-fi or fantasy or some sort of bent to it a little bit, or, you know, or even, you know, like some sort of like Mork and Mindy or something that has like, mm-hmm. like a sitcom that has some sort of weird, right. bent, not just like, Roseanne, but I just found the whole thing strange is that very little of it seemed to actually promote Cozy TV, which is what you would think the thing would be promoting.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You could almost go through it and not realize that Cozy TV was where you could actually find episodes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that definitely falls under the strange things. I'll just mention it again real quick. The strangest thing for me was being offered drugs by a homeless guy as we were leaving the Jurassic Park out the back gate.
Oh, oh my God.
I didn't get offered any.
Well, I'm pretty sure they were for sale. They weren't like for free, but he was trying to offer up that he had some for sale or whatever as we were leaving. I think it may have been because we were going one way and you guys were going another way to go to a different spot afterwards.
Oh, right.
And, but yeah, that was definitely a first for me, in really in any, situation, let alone Comic-Con.
yeah.
Amory, we'll start with you. You already talked a little bit about some stuff that you bought, but what was the best thing you bought and or best piece of swag you came away with?
I really like the Paramount tiny sling bag that we got. I don't know what I'll use it for, but I feel like that's something I could put to use. It's like just an over-the-shoulder small bag. And then the prints I got obviously are awesome. I can't wait to get them hung up. I didn't bring home a lot of the swag that I came with. I kept trying to get people to keep the stuff that was given away to me. Nobody was taking. So I didn't really get much, and I didn't really buy much except for the prints I got. So I came home with some good stuff, but nothing crazy.
How about you, Paul?
Yeah, so on preview night, there was an exclusive announced, and I have a friend who's really into the 1989 Batman with Michael Keaton, and they had a bottle opener that was styled after the 1989, like that style of from the Batman movie, like the, I don't know what it's modeled after exactly, some tool from his belt that looks like a bat, right? The Batman symbol. But it was a bottle opener. And so I was with Kyle, who likes to run around the floor, and I was like, if there's no line, I know it's preview night and there's going to be lines, but if there's no line, I would like to just run by it and then quickly see if I can buy it, like, quick as can be. And sure enough, there was, like, no line. Like, every other booth had lines, and this booth did not have a line. And so I just said, do you have it? And they had a huge stack of them right there. It was exclusive just for Comic-Con. So I was able to get that. For a friend. And then the other thing that I was compelled to buy was I was in a panel, and the person beside me was just going on and on that they had just come from a panel about pop culture tarot card decks. And I thought that was fascinating. And he was like, well, there's a booth that you can go to where they have all these pop culture tarot card. And I was like, what? And so he told me the name of the booth, and I went and I found it. And sure enough, they had a Star Trek The Next Generation tarot deck. So I bought that because I was like, this is too good to pass up. I also bought a Buffy the Vampire Slayer tarot deck. So those were two fun little things to buy for myself. I when I saw Star Trek Next Generation tarot deck, I was like, this is crazy. I have to buy this. So...
And was there any giveaway swag or anything that you came away with?
Well, yeah, there was.
Besides your Judge Judy mug?
Yes. I think I did get most random piece of swag, I would have to say, is at the Lanford Days, the Roseanne exhibit, I got a terrestrial TV antenna and swag. That was really strange. So I got a TV antenna, a swag, as well as the season 6 box set.
The one thing you could get there that had a Cozy TV sticker on it that was saying, hey, you can get Cozy TV through this if you need to.
Right, exactly. And so that was probably the most random piece. But the one thing I do like about Comic-Con, the things that I probably find the most useful are all the canvas tote bags that you get from Comic-Con, because they're such good bags for like grocery shopping. Do you know what I mean? So I always take them grocery shopping, these tote bags, when I get them home. Mm-hmm. So I have such a big stack of canvas tote bags now because of, you know, all the ones you get from Comic-Con. But yeah.
Definitely plenty of bags. We came home with lots and lots of bags. The Nat Geo cooler bags are probably going to be the one thing that gets used the most of things that we brought back.
So this is a random question for you, because I also got that bag. Are you meant to treat it like a cooler and put?
I think so. It looks insulated, and it looks.
The Nat Geo bag?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's water. Okay. It looks, if you actually put like ice in it or whatever, like it would be kind of hard to dump out. But if you put like ice packs and stuff like that in there and zipped it up, I think it's supposed to be able to keep stuff cold for a while.
Oh, so for grocery shopping for like ice cream or something. Yeah, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you can definitely use it there too. That'd be a, you know, taking it to the beach with some cold stuff in it or something. But yeah, definitely. I was going to say, is a lot of those type of bags do get put into the shopping bag category. And you know, I hadn't even thought of that as a cooler bag for shopping, but it would totally work for that too.
Yeah.
All right. So next question is, Amory, what was the best thing or two that you ate while at Comic-Con?
Well, we all know where I spent most of my time. I was at Sweet Things anytime I could get to them. And I love them and I miss them all the time. So anything I had there was delicious. And then I went to Basic twice, so as not to be outdone by going to Sweet Things 97 times. Sweet Things frozen yogurt was great. Basic is always great. And I don't think I ate anywhere else. I went to Bub's. Their food was always good too. But nothing new that I hadn't had before. Uh-huh. I will say the drinks at the Paramount activation were wildly strong.
Yes.
A lot of heavy pours.
I drank very heavy. Very fast as well.
Yes.
But those were good. But yeah, it's always Sweet Things for me.
Yeah. I was going to say the whiskey cocktail at the lodge, you had two drink tickets, I believe. And
only needed one, apparently.
Yeah. Well, it was very strong, and you're just kind of walking around with them, and you have about 50 minutes to consume, you know, everything there. There were also some good burgers that were pretty good. I will say, in terms of, like, what was the best thing I ate, like, at an activation or something, I actually really liked the Lanford Days loose meat burgers. I'm not sure if you agreed with that, but in terms of free food that you're getting, but
yeah,
everybody,
it wasn't terrible.
It wasn't terrible. But then I would go back to the Nat Geo party, did have really good food. There were pizza being passed around, and then some skewers, and then also tacos. So that probably had like the best food of any event.
And they had the paletas. They had ice cream that you could make your own like paleta thing, which was cool.
Oh, right. Cool. Yeah. Yeah,
there was lots of different ice cream things, which worked out well, I think, this year with that. It was a little bit hotter, a little bit more humid than it's been, at least that I recall in past years. But lots of ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. Anything else that we didn't really cover, or anything else you want to mention? Any other fun things Comic-Con related? How about you, Paul?
Yeah, so there was one thing that I think just totally fell under the radar for I think all of us was, I guess there was some sort of Haunted Mansion activation for the promoting the film, and it was kind of hidden, and it was in a strange location on the way to the Jurassic Park activation, so it wasn't really promoted heavily, and Yeah, I'm not even sure I saw any press releases for it or anything. So yeah,
I didn't even know anything about it until I saw the pedicabs that had the the haunted mansion thing around it, and then had a couple of characters that would either chase them around or would ride with you if you wanted to. That was, I think, also part of the activation, and you know, you could potentially take the pedicab to thing, I guess, but didn't even know it existed until saw those. And then, like you said, on the way to like the Jurassic Park, it was like, hey, there's a door and a sign for a haunted mansion activation.
Yeah, it was strange. So I don't know what was going on in there. We didn't really have time to explore. And then the other thing I thought was kind of, I don't know if it's worth mentioning, but I just found it interesting, to say the least, was outside the Hilton Bayfront, there was a tiny giveaway activation, I guess I'd call it, for Only Murders in the Building. And there was a 2-hour long line for it. And my friend Kyle waited in line for it for, I think it was 2 hours, or it was at least an hour and a half.
It was,
He was in it for a while. And then the giveaway was he got some Selena Gomez mascara at the end of it. And that, and I was like, that is not worth it for me.
apparently there was a small box and a big box, and have not heard or seen anything about what the other
particular thing was. It was a bottle. It was a cup, like a thermos.
Oh, is that the...
Oh, right.
Water bottle. It was a water bottle.
I'm sure Kyle would have swapped out for that if he could have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess here's where I should have mentioned other things worth mentioning. Jimmy Eat World, which was really good. I got to have lunch with one of my oldest and dearest friends the first day. And it was just nice to be back in San Diego. It definitely felt different, and that's it. I don't know. Like, it didn't leave me being like, I can't wait for next year.
Yeah.
But that's not because of the people. It's just because it was like different. Like, we had a great time.
Yeah.
But I'm not itching to be like, I need to get back. Like I have been in previous years.
Right. And I wonder if that's going to affect, I wonder what the knock-on effect for ticket sales is going to be.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Because you still don't know what it'll be like by the time it comes around again. Mm-hmm. But I think there's still a huge number of people that don't go for necessarily the TV or movie related stuff. Like that's all cool. Yeah. Some of it is, you know, all bigger off of things that they enjoy. You know, some people just go to dress up like stormtroopers and walk around for 4 days. And, you know, or in this case, Ken and Barbie, which was definitely the thing of the con.
I will say that was probably the biggest missed opportunity for promotion that they could have done was more Barbie tie-ins and perhaps even more Oppenheimer tie-ins, that kind of thing. I feel like the studios could have poured some money into that somehow. I don't know, with a panel or a screening or something. Yeah.
Yeah, or some sort of Barbie activation where you could have, like the Quantum Leap one, where you got whisked into Barbie land.
Exactly.
Or a Barbie's Dreamhouse activation is the obvious one, right?
HGTV could have done that because they did that show.
Well, now you can like Airbnb it or whatever and stay at it. Yeah, it definitely had a different feel. I'm trying to think of like if it's not a big, like, because you're not sure what next year is going to be like, and if things are more back to normal, will it be like so much more chaotic and busy that you're like, is that the part you're not looking forward to? Is like,
well, right.
And then like, but then like also thinking about it going, I don't have to do that much of that stuff. I could still go and do what I did somewhat this year. Like,
right.
A lot of the other little panels and things that I did were all smaller panels that even in a big year, I'm sure I could have just walked into at the beginning of the day. So
one difference they made that they snuck into the rules were relating to people lining up to get into, say, Hall H or Ballroom 20. There wasn't a lot of waiting in line for that. I don't think there was really any way. I mean, there might have been some morning lines to get into the exhibit hall, like the everything else line, they call it, to get into the exhibit hall first thing in the morning. But one of the changes that they snuck in relates to how many people you can save a spot for, which will have a huge impact if it's enforced next year, because under last year's rules, you could only save a spot for five other people. Or was it five people, including yourself? Anyway, this year it's only two people. So I think it was yourself plus two other people is the rule change. So if they enforce that, that's going to change the dynamics of how waiting in line for Hall H works. Because instead of these massive line groups where you have shifts of 3 hours that you're trading off with five other people, you're only going to be trading off with two other people potentially. So it's going to make it a lot more challenging, I think, to wait in line, but also enjoy your con when you're in Hall H.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting, because I think people that really want to get into Hall H are going to want to get into Hall H. Like, I don't think... So I think it's going to end up making the lines a lot longer for Hall H, but also taking those people out of rotation that they would have been, you know, attending panels or walking the floor, because they'll have to wait in line more, right? So
yeah, that was the thing we talked about a little bit last week, is it does seem to be that the floor did a lot more business and some of the things like the Snoopy store that was out, their little activation / store that they had outside the, you know, they had one inside and outside, there was a line every morning for it. Like every time we walked by, there was probably a good, might have been waiting, you know, like once it opened, might have been waiting an hour if you were at the back of the line. And if you're waiting in line for Hall H, you can't go wait in line for some exclusive or something like that on the floor. So I think a lot of those things happened this year that wouldn't normally happen too. So yeah, that's more from Comic-Con 2023. That's more about the things we checked out. Let us know what panels and activations you went to, if you were there, and or what things you would have liked to have checked out. You can let us know at TV Times 3 on Twitter or in the comments on the show notes at TVTimes3podcast.com/433.
Spell it all out. Yeah,
that's right. Spell it a lot more out than you used to. Yeah. And and you can find contact links for all of us, our sites and Twitters and stuff like that, in the show notes as well. And thank you, Amory and Paul, for joining me on episode 433.
Thank you for having me.
Happy to come back and talk again.
Yeah.
But there's not real I will talk about Survivor all season.
Yeah, that's...
Ooh.
It might
Did be- you just see what happened with Big Brother, and Suri is now on Big Brother this year? Anyway.
I did see that. Yeah. Anyway, I got to go bake a bunch of stuff.
It might become a TV Times 3 reality edition for the fall season.
I could we'll do that.
Stuff to talk about. Yeah.
All right.
Cookies wait for no man.
Talk to you later. Okay, I hit record, and... Now I've also hit record on the, and now take two. I really do need my Roseanne clapper that I got at the thing here for this podcast.